3, 2, 1.
This is Remzo Republic.
The clash of punk, rock and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter. I'm at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Thank you once again for tuning in, for all those old listeners. You know, I'm just coming to you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, broadcasting you coast to coast. Thank you all for coming back. I want to give a special shout-out to our new listeners. I think you chose one of the better episodes to come into. I say that about every episode. Every episode is awesome, but this one's ultra awesome. One, because it's commercial-free. One, on top of that, one point I made. One, because, you know, everyone hates commercials and commercials suck. Two, it's because we've got a project very near and dear to my heart. It's taken a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and hours away from our guest into putting all that effort into probably what I think is the best libertarian comic ever produced. I don't say that lightly because they're only like a handful, but of that handful, I think this one's probably the best when it comes to libertarian content. But it's not just the fact that it's libertarian that I like it, even though I'm a little bit more biased towards that stuff. It's because in its own right, and this is coming from a giant comic nerd since the age of 9. I'm pretty sure a good chunk of my monthly income goes to comics. And, you know, if you can't send my mail to my house to get it to me, you could probably send it to the local comic book store and I'll be there. It's just a good freaking comic in its own right. And it's accessible to anyone and everyone because it's that good. I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about it. But first, I want to go ahead and introduce the writer and creator of the Liberty Force comic. He's also the host of the one and only Johnny Rocket Launchpad, coming to you from Washington State. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Rocket. Johnny, welcome to the show, man.
Remzo, thank you very much, sir. Thank you for having me on your show.
Not a problem. So after months and months and months and months of spending hours writing, drawing, rewriting, redoing panels, trying to get the ink right, trying to find the paper, trying to promote it, all that stuff that goes into making a comic, how does it get to finally be able to just say, it's done, now it's time to sell it and see how good it does?
Well, there's a caveat to that. Let me first say that Heather Nixon was also the co-creator with me on the comic book. So, and not all the attention should be on me. Heather Nixon from she was the voice of reason on the Launchpad. She also helped me co-create that comic book. So I think that's kind of important to give her props and credit also.
That, and she's the voice of reason in the comic too.
That's right. That's right. She's the voice of reason. So yeah, she did help me come up with the idea with the, you know, basic stuff and the world and everything that you kind of see there. but yeah, dude, it's been a big pain in the butt, but it's fun. Yeah, I've actually had a blast doing it, and it took away my weekends, but I don't care. You know, like, it was worth it because it's about liberty.
Weekends are for communists anyway.
That's right. but like I do, I'm kind of glad that my job doesn't have me work all the weekends, but so I could do this damn book. But it was fun. It was really fun. And when I stopped, I said, I got to let it go. You know, like, if there's an issue here, there's an issue there. You know what? It's just, you got to let it go. If I see a mistake, I mean, I could go back now. And this is just a few weeks later going, you know what? I could do that page over. I didn't like the layout that much. And I could have been a little bit more creative on that. You just sometimes, same thing with being in the music business. You know, you have a record. Right. You're producing a record. And when you get to that point, you're like, you know what? You just got to let it go. I know you had a weird note on your guitar solo, Dennis, or my guitar player at the time, but you got to let it go. And so I just kind of let it go and said, fuck it. I'm putting it out there and it's going to do well or it's not going to do well. So I'm kind of leaving it up to the free market, whether or not this thing succeeds.
Definitely. So I remember the last time you were on the show, it was way, way back in season one. And we were talking about the odd combination, the odd tie that libertarians and comic books have. Or more like, you know, libertarians happen to love comics. And I think a lot of comic book nerds have very strong libertarian leanings. So was that one of the things that pushed you into creating a comic? Because I know you wanted to do something other than the show, because you're a creator. You like to create things, especially when it comes to the things that you're passionate about. Was that something that just popped into your mind? You're like, you know, I want to promote liberty in one way, shape, or form. I'm going to go ahead and do a comic. Or what, did you have other ideas?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is I'm all for using, you know, like if you know how to draw or you know how to write or you know how to, you know, whatever your talents are, you know, everyone is different. I think it's important that you utilize those skills and promote liberty that way. I mean, we're not going to get anywhere if we all sit on our ass and wait for someone else to do it. So I know that I could draw okay. And I figured, hey, I can write this pretty good story. And I started kind of just coming up with this idea. I've actually had this idea for about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. And it didn't come into fruition until this Christmas time. And I was just like, you know, I think I want to do this. You know, I think it's kind of important. I have this calling. And I feel like if I wouldn't, my life wouldn't be complete if I didn't do this comic. So it was kind of a calling to me in a sense. And I've already, we already kind of had the basic gist of everything sort of laid out. Heather and I kind of discussed these ideas 2.5 years ago starting, you know. So I thought it was cool. Like, we're going to bring in these characters and, you know, but as the story was written, it was like written kind of, it was written backwards almost, because I actually wrote like one of the last pages first and I started drawing that. Then I had to go back and kind of restart the story because I wanted to pick up the story later. But in reality, I think it was better that the beginning of the comic book was actually more towards the back of it. So there was I had a calling. That's what I would call it, man. I feel people need to hear this message and hear the ideas of liberty, but not be too in your face. Cause I mean, I think a lot of people might get turned off if I'm throwing libertarian ideas down people's throats, where I came in at the angle of the main characters are kind of learning about it at the same time as the reader. So I thought that was kind of important. So that's how I kind of did it differently than other libertarian comic books.
Definitely. And I totally see that in the story, because it's not some, like, you could, like, let's say if you were to buy Liberty Force at like a comic book store, there's nothing telling you this is a libertarian comic. Buy it because it talks about libertarianism. The thing about Liberty Force that I love is the fact that it puts the story first and the message not second, but the story is about the message. It's not, the message is just the story. Whereas other comics, it's just, you know, It for some people, it they could read it in other libertarian comics, and it's like they have to understand like a secret language. They need to understand what Rothbardianism is and what the non-aggression principle is. So when anyone, sure, Joe Schmo off the street picks up a copy of Liberty Force, they could read it. It's like what you said. They're going on a journey with the characters, whereas the flaws of others from the past, it's like, I'm reading this. What the hell am I reading?
Right. And like, you're kind of being taught libertarianism. And it's also there for people who are libertarians, because there are secret code words I use within the story.
It's kind of like an Easter egg.
It is. I mean, like, so like, if you didn't catch it, like, one of the main characters they're fighting is a guy named Hobbes, and his ship happens to be called the Leviathan. Well, I figured that was kind of interesting because Hobbes is, you know, a big statist, and he was a combatant of John Locke, I believe. And so his book was called The Leviathan, and he thought that we needed big state to succeed in society. So I did these little Easter eggs within the story. So like, yes, there is Rothbardians in it, but you have to know who Rothbard is before you get the joke about an alien race called the Rothbardians. So I'm doing something totally different. It's very retro too. I'm keeping the comic book in this 1950s kind of sci-fi Twilight Zone kind of feel, but then mix in Superman and Batman and X-Men kind of ideas and mix them all together. And this, you have the Liberty Force.
Definitely.
So it's a journey, man. It is a journey.
So speaking of that journey, for people that are like, okay, obviously Johnny's on to something. I got to learn a little bit more of this, but I want to, you know, kind of get a gist for the story. Can you kind of give us like a basic, you know, just a really basic plot line of, you know, Liberty Force issue one, just so that way, you know, you're not spoiling anything for them, but they'll definitely want to, you know, they want to dive into it and go buy a copy later.
Well, basically, you have three characters, and these three characters are based on the characters of the launch pad. And the three characters are exploring this part of space. You don't really know where what their political alignment is. You don't know really anything other than the fact that you start to get to know them as they complain and moan and bitch amongst each other about their situation. So they go in, they're on this mission, and they just happen to have some sort of strange signal they pick up. And they end up discovering this ancient base. And within this base is the Secrets of Liberty. And then as you later find out that they really are part of the problem, they didn't realize that they are part of the entity in which they will end up combating later in the book. So it's basically their journey through the knowledge of libertarianism, through the teachings of a computer, which is on the ship or on this base, that actually ends up teaching them all these concepts of libertarianism, individualism, and free markets. And this is what this comic is about, and saying, hey, before 1,000 years ago, we had this society and we don't have it now. And it was so much more prosperous. But greed and jealousy and the want for power and the desire for power has actually created this world or this galaxy in which these characters are finding themselves in, and they want to combat that. They end up combating that power at the end.
Definitely. And one thing I really, you know, as a superhero nerd specifically, and I know a lot of people that love comics, but they don't like superhero comics. What I love about this one is it really gives like kind of a Star Trek feel in a sense, while it also throws in, you know, X-Men, Justice League, all that jazz. And what's really interesting about how the characters get their powers is you describe it as the Axiom. So you kind of want to talk about that a little bit, because how it's not just that they get powers and it matches their personality. They get powers, but each of the powers are grounded in something larger than just, you know, what they're able to do.
Right. So there are these truths or the axioms, and it's been – so basically the base, the launch pad, which they have – are in, that's the ancient base that I was discussing earlier. Basically, there is a long tradition of these axioms throughout history. And the Liberty Force isn't just the characters, it's an actual entity that gives them their powers. And it's channeled through these axioms. And these axioms are embedded, and the Liberty Force kind of seeks out these people throughout the galaxy and kind of calls to them for the best fit. So it's kind of happenstance that these characters found these axioms. So but the axioms, I mean, like, so for example, do you have Johnny Rocket, the Rocketeer? You have Heather Nixon, the Voice of Reason, and Kurt, who is the Speed of Sound. All of these axioms were going on thousands of years before. So there was at another time another Speed of Sound. There was at another time another Voice of Reason, and so forth. So it's cool. Like, I like the idea that like the Liberty Force is this entity that is channeling its desires through this computer called the Saint on the launch pad. And the, just to let you know, the Saint is, was actually modeled after a really near and dear friend of ours. His name is Paul Addis. And he's a great guy. And
Paul is awesome.
So he's actually modeled after the Saint. So the Saint was who he is, and so that he's such a good person, we figured we kind of give him a shout out in a way, and embed him into the story just because of how wonderful he is.
Definitely. So, you know, you brought up X-Men, Justice League, Twilight Zone. It's got that 1950s retro style sci-fi that, you know, if you're a nerd like me, you're just loving every part of it. But in terms of like your actual inspirations for, you know, whether it's the designs or the story itself, what were some of your, you know, other comic or pop culture inspirations that helped you, you know, really craft the story the way you did?
Well, I have to actually give, I grew up in the 90s, you know, when I was reading comics with like guys like Chris Claremont, Jim Lee, Alan Davis, Sam Keith, which, you know, he's okay. But I mean, I grew up in that era where Image was just coming out. Todd McFarlane was creating Spawn. So that was like my childhood growing up. But there was one comic book that actually kind of inspired me in stylized way is Bone and by Jeff Smith, and not the one we had an argument with about
screw
Jeff Smith. But this Jeff Smith was the guy who he created Bone comic, which was just the most well-paced, well-timed out book ever created. I mean, I just think it was like a fun book. It was a great adventure, and it was just an amazing. I love this guy's style of artwork so much that I kind of took from him in a lot of ways, like is the way he approaches expressions and how his characters react and act with each other. And I think that's more important, I think, in a comic when you're developing personalities, because you want to create distinct personalities for your characters. You don't want these flat shells of characters that have no personality. They may look cool as hell, but they're not really doing anything, you know, like you don't really like them for any other reason that they look cool. So I really wanted to like drive home that these characters are likable in some way or unlikable. So like, and I made it, I actually went out of my way to make my character in the book kind of an asshole. And I did that on purpose just to make you think he's an asshole. But later on, you might figure out why he is one.
I want to kind of jump in real fast. It's because of that reason that between issue 1 and 2, you're actually doing a web series. And the web series isn't necessarily a continuation of issue 1, but it kind of gives a backstory in a sense. You want to talk about the webcomic a little bit?
Yeah. So what we're doing is it's the webcomic is basically through the eyes of the robot in the comic. There's this robot that is one of the characters' little minions or companions. And what I wanted to do what I thought would be cool is actually tell a story of what the characters were like, what's going on, maybe reveal some secrets, maybe even reveal some deceptions at the same time. So you're seeing everything from the robot's eyes that's in the comic book, but you also get to find out more things that are going on. So you don't know where the robot is throughout the story, but you can see what he's doing when this robot is having some flashbacks. So it starts to fill in holes in the story, and it actually adds and actually thickens the plot. So I'm really excited about it. Because I really want to, go more into the characters, why they're who they, you know, why they act the way they do, why they're doing what they do, and really hone in on why you will like them, and you'll end up loving all the characters, but your initial response to some of them may be kind of deceitful on my end, because some of them may be good, but you might think they're, you know, in the first comic, you might think they're good, but really they may not be as good as you think they are.
Definitely. If there's one thing I could definitely say, having, you know, spoken to you behind the scenes and seeing the comic as it was developing, is that nothing is what it seems like at face value. And that's the amazing thing about it, because Liberty Force, you know, there's so much more that you have coming that I want to spoil it to the audience, but I'm not. Which kind of leads me to my next point. You know, how can they get the comic? How can they order a copy today and all that jazz?
Well, you can go to libertyforcecomic.com. We have a couple options. I mean, if you just want a digital comic, it's like $2. it's relatively inexpensive and it's cheap and it's fun. You could buy just a comic book and it's like $4. You might have to pay shipping and handling. It's like $2, but I recommend that. And, you know, there's some signed variations if you want me to sign it and have it bagged and boarded and all that other crap. And then we also are doing a special for the subscription for the launch pad. So, you get a year of the launch pad for free at the after parties. All right. So our show is normally free, but we have after party shows. So if you, subscribe and you buy the comic book signed and everything, you get the whole shebang. And you also get our after party shows for the JohnnyRocketLaunchpad.com.
Outstanding. So, Johnny, we've got to get going. Thank you so much for coming on. And, folks, let me tell you, if he's done one thing right, it's definitely this comic. And you should buy everything. You should buy a digital copy. You should buy a regular copy. And you know what? Go ahead and get a vault and get a signed copy. So, you know, get 5 copies of the regular one while you're at it. I mean, it's just, Johnny, it's that good. And I'm so excited to see what more you have coming down the pipe in the future.
Right on, man. Well, thank you so much, Remzo, and I appreciate you having me on your show. I really do.
Not a problem. Folks, go ahead and get your copy of Liberty Force today at www.libertyforcecomic.com. That's libertyforcecomic.com. And, you know, send us your picture. Go ahead and tweet out to me at Remzo101 and go ahead and tag Johnny's page on Facebook. It's Johnny Rocket Launchpad, and you've got Liberty Force Comic. Tag those pages once you go ahead and get your copy, and let's make this thing the next Watchmen. But first of all, let's go ahead and make it the best Liberty Force comic, the best libertarian comic it is. As always, I'm Remso W. Martinez. Tune in next time for our next episode coming up. Be good to your neighbor. Go ahead and treat yourself a little bit. And as always, I'm Remso W. Martinez, America. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?